You are listening to the Family Business Podcast, the podcast aimed at delivering insights to help your family business thrive. I'm your host, Russ Hayworth, and each week I'll be bringing you interviews from family businesses and their advisors from all over the world. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Family Business Podcast. I'm your host, Russ Hayworth. This is the first ever episode of the podcast. And before we get into the bones of the episode, I thought I'd just give a quick overview of what it is we're trying to do and who we are so that you will know to recognize some of our voices and understand what the intention is when we record these podcasts. So firstly, I'm Russ Hayworth. I'm a financial planner and I work with family businesses in helping them to achieve financial independence and aid succession planning. I will be joined on a regular basis by somebody called John Tucker, who is a family business consultant, who also founded the International Centre for Families in Business. You'll hear a lot from John over various different episodes and his insights and experiences. And we're also joined by a chap called Nick Smith, who also is a family business consultant, but has previously worked in the legal field and has recently published a book that is very impressive, a very comprehensive book. And so he will also be offering his insights and experience. And also Emma Rudge, who is currently a solicitor, but also a family business consultant. So she's sort of wears two hats. And we often meet and sit around a table and have a discussion about a particular subject, which is the topic of this podcast, is when do you become a family business, i.e. do you get a bumper sticker and a certificate and say, well done, you're a family business, or is it not quite like that in reality? So when we get into the podcast itself, you'll hear me speak first, then John, then Nick, and then Emma is fairly obvious because she's the only female voice, but we didn't go through any introductions, so just so you know who we are. You can find out more about us on the website, which is www.fambizpodcast.com. And yeah, you can ask us any questions, but I've probably bored you enough now. So let's get on with the show.
Okay, well, I started a business at the age of 29. My guess would be that it became a family business when Pauline joined me at the time when I asked her if she would do the books. And she started doing the books in the basement, and we set up an office in the basement of the house. Pauline started doing the books. The kids then were probably, 5 and 3. And they became aware that they were part of something that wasn't part of anything that their friends and they were at school were part of, and they started talking about, you know, mum and dad being in business together all the time that mum and dad were spending doing this or doing that, getting sent to their rooms. So they became aware of the fact that Pauline and I were in business together. It just grew, and Pauline's sister joined the business and Pauline's brother joined the business. So I guess at that point, it was a family business. Was I aware that it was something called a family business? No, I wasn't.
So it wasn't something you intended to set up as a family business?
No, not at all. I set it up because I was working for a charity based up in the Midlands. And one day, a colleague and myself thought, we can do this better. So if I'm being honest, we nicked a contract from under the noses of the people we worked with and set it up, and off we went. I said to a friend of mine, who are your lawyers? Who are your bankers? Who are your accountants? And he said, well, these, and these. So we went to see the lawyer, went to see the accountant, went to see the bank, set it up. No experience in business whatsoever. I was a social worker, and my colleague, partner, we had 50-50 at that point. He was a linguist. And so we set this training business up with no real experience of business at all. Didn't even know what P&L was. Didn't even know what balance sheet was. Certainly couldn't read it, that was for sure. Mm. Cash flow, what was that? You know, we said, let's get on with it, and that's what we did.
And do you think that's a recurring theme with your work now with family businesses? Do you think they are established with the intention of being a family business, or is there something bigger?
I think it varies. But I would say that there is a common theme. My experience over the last 30 years suggests that most of the founders didn't think to themselves at the time that they set it up that this will be a family business. So I've always been interested in that journey. When does it become a family business? How does it become a family business? Who makes the decision? Why do the kids come into the business? You know, and a lot of it, I think, is almost like osmosis. It's just like a, I don't know, an iterative process. I don't know what the right words are, but it just seems to happen.
It is because it is.
Yeah, it is. It is what it is. And kids join the business, and often they don't think that there's anything else. In fact, yesterday I took my cat and dog into the kennels, and the kennels happened to be a family business. And the son, who's now, I don't know, 22, 23, is running the business. His dad's still there. His grandparents are still living on site. And I said to him yesterday, so is this it for you then? And he said, don't know yet, John. He said, I'm still thinking about it. He said, I'm beginning to look like my dad, sound like my dad, and not sure I want to be like my dad. So, you know, again, it's like watching this young man who I've known now for, I don't know, 10 years. He was wandering around like at 10 years, 11 years of age, you know, mucking out the kennels and looking after the dogs. So is he just ended up there? Or has he made a career decision? And I see that all the time. Mm. Am I just ended up here? Have I just become the MD because it's Buggins' turn? You know, or have I made a conscious decision to join this business?
And is that something that's shared around the table, your experiences?
Definitely. There are a couple of interesting words come out of what John said. I mean, firstly, he said, I guess we had a family business. And he should know. I mean, he's been in one. He's consulted around the family business field for about 30 years. But he was not, in that analysis, capable of saying, well, at this point, it became a family business.
You don't get a sticker, I guess.
A bumper sticker. Hello, we are now a family business. The second point was that he said, my daughters became part of it. And what I'm interested in understanding is what he meant by that. How did two young girls, I think you said they were 5 and 3, How did they become part of that business then? What marked them out as different from their colleagues at school?
Well, I mean, simple things for them. If you talk to them now, simple things like being picked up after school by my secretary. You know, so all the other kids would get picked up by their mums, or usually their mums, but sometimes their dads. But in those days, you know, it was the mums usually were outside the school. But my kids, my two daughters, because Pauline was working in the business, you know, it wasn't convenient to leave at 3:30 every afternoon. So if there were afternoons when Pauline couldn't pick the kids up, couldn't pick the kids up, and she'd take them to McDonald's. So they sit in McDonald's, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, half past 4 in the afternoon, talking to my secretary and saying, well, where are you picking me up? Well, your mum and dad are busy. Well, where are they busy? Well, they're running a business. So they started to realise that mum and dad were actually running a business. So whether they became actually conscious at that point of it being a family business, but certainly they were aware of things like, if we entertained at home, thank you very much, at 6 o'clock, go to your rooms. You know, so they go to their rooms, and then Leslie, particularly the eldest one, might wander down again in the middle of dinner, you know, and say, well, who are you then? Well, so what are you doing here? Are you in business with daddy and mummy and dad as well? You know, and it was all of those little things that used to happen. So they knew they were different.
It's what the academics call socialisation process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can relate to that because I was that kid. So, because my dad ran a business, and I couldn't even begin to tell you when the day was, but we were just always aware of the business. So we'd spend Saturday mornings in the office. We'd get the bacon sandwiches for the workers. We'd have jobs to do, like running through the tachographs. And that just went, and there was a sort of just an identity thing, because our name was above the door and on the business cards and all over anything that my dad could get it on, quite frankly. So it was just part of what our lives always were. That's the only way I can really describe it. So I would almost go as far to say that the children realise it's a family business before the parents do.
That's really, really profound, really interesting. Because, I mean, the two of you have heard, you know, what happened to me. I think it's still interesting. And very quickly, you know that I met a psychotherapist at a conference, and we started talking about what he was doing, what I was doing. And he was working with men of a certain age, 70 to 80, going to him for psychotherapeutic support, talking about their lives, talking about what it was all about, what am I leaving behind. And he recognised that very early on that a lot of the men that were going to see him were family, were your parents. People like myself. And when we started talking, he said to me, well, what about you? And I said, well, what about me? He said, well, was your business a family business? And I said, well, I never really thought about it. We started talking about it, and he said, well, what about your kids? And I said, well, they've never joined the family business. And the kids were, what, 15 or 16 by this time? And he said, no, that's not my question. My question is, what about your kids? And I said, well, I just told you. He said, what was the impact of you and your wife being on business together have on your children? And I said, well, I don't know. I've never asked them. And he said, go home and ask them. So that's what I did. I went home and asked them. And we were sat around the dinner table with Pauline, my wife, one and two kids. And I asked the girls what it was like for them. And they took the chair. I like that one. They stuck it in the corner of the room. They got some masking tape out. Don't know where they found it. Put it around my mouth. And the little one said to the eldest one, are you going to tell him or shall I tell him? And the eldest one said, no, I'll tell him. He said, Dad, nearly as long as we've been on this planet, you're very good at talking, but you're bloody awful at listening. So now you can't talk, you've got to listen. So listen to my two children and tell me what it was like, exactly what you've just said, about growing up with mum and dad obsessed, totally taken over by the business. And when they finished, I sat there, good and bad, they told me. And I sat there and they took the tape off, and I sat there and I thought, blimey, this is interesting stuff. Whew. And I got up to walk away, and this voice from the other end of the table said, could you sit down a minute? I've got something to say. And Pauline, who'd been the finance director of our family business for nearly 10 years, then said, something I've never said to you, but I wanted to be a nurse. But I joined you, I supported you, because I felt that's what you needed and what you wanted me to do. But I never wanted to do the books, I never wanted to be an accountant, I never wanted to do finance, I wanted to be a nurse. And I said something like, we've been married 29 years, but you've never told me, you've never said that to me in your life. And she said, yes, I have. Go back to what the children have just told you. You weren't listening.
All right. But does that make it your business that the family came along as hostages almost for an unwilling ride, or does it make it a family business?
No, I think of the former.
But it's, again, we're already into perspectives, aren't we? Because the business has been founded, the founder feels like he or she owns it, and the rest of the family also feel ownership without him or her even realising it. So At the moment, we don't know where that moment is, the sort of big bang of family business, suddenly you've already got those differing perspectives all in the melting pot together, really.
Interesting. I think your question throws up that, for me, one of the eternal questions, does it still remain my business? Does it ever become a family business?
This is the emotional ownership of it. So even if your wife, daughters, grandchildren even had been introduced to the family as owners, it would still be your business.
Mm-hmm.
Your picture above the boardroom fireplace.
Yeah.
So when we are several conversations down the line, we'll have to pinpoint and remember this as being the almost where the issues around letting go start, really, I suppose.
Mm. Mm.
I think it also illustrates that there's a lovely major report I read of the EU trying to agree a definition of what a family business was. And they came up with, I think, 93 separate definitions. So I've got this image of people sitting around, you know, in Finland, we describe a family business as having at least two generations. But I think this conversation just illustrates why you can't define what a family business is. It's almost indefinable. Mm-hmm. By a certain stage, a third, fourth generation, you can say, yeah, that's definitely a family business. But in the, you know, the majority of business, so-called family businesses are early stage. It's almost indefinable when they become a family business. There are all sorts of ingredients.
But if you flip that on its head, I've just had a memory, Nick, of you and I being sent off to meet a family business because they were a family business. And we got there with our family business packs ready to speak to the family Indeed. Businesses. And the chap said, this is not a family business. Deadly serious. And, a company's house search showing that the wife and the husband were in business together was not enough to conclude that it was family owned, because in his head, it was not.
I remember that very clearly. I remember putting the family business pack away and finding another one.
Yeah. So I guess there can be no, but the fact, I suppose the question that's always stayed with me is, just because he didn't think it was a family business, did that mean it wasn't?
I think those, in some ways, are the most confusing entities to deal with, because you will still have those dynamics and those issues that John's described. The sort of overwhelming commitment to the business, to the extent that children are picked up by secretaries, the issues you've described about being dragged into to get bacon sandwiches and work in the business at evenings, weekends, your name being above the door. If you're seeing yourself as a corporate business or as a haulage business, a training business or whatever, then you're going to be even less aware of the challenges that being of a family being in business together present.
What's intriguing me now, I've never really thought about this, but between the time that I described when the kids were under 3 and 5, they were nearly 15, 16, Leslie would have been 17 when I met that psychotherapist. So that means we would have been in business for nearly 10 years, maybe even longer.
Yeah.
And in all that time, I had never considered that our business was what was then described to me as a family business. So have the professions, and the psychotherapist would be put in that category, come up with this nomenclature to describe something and put this tag on it called a family business? So they say to someone like myself at that point, oh, you're a family business. And you go, am I? Oh, okay. But I've not really thought about it. So suddenly on Friday, I'm not a family business. I meet a psychotherapist on Sunday, and by Monday, I'm talking about us being a family business. But nothing's changed.
But something did.
Other than your realisation, or at least the suggestion that you may be a family business.
Yeah, but only by his definition. By my definition, nothing's changed. He's only given me a tag to put on it.
But it changed because you asked the questions to your children. That changed.
Yes.
Which they then answered as well.
But I hadn't asked those questions. What I'm saying is, on that Monday, I hadn't asked those questions.
No.
So suddenly somebody is saying to me, oh, your business is a family business. But by whose definition?
Well, turn the question, or rephrase the question, and say, is your business a family business? Then that's helpful, isn't it?
Is your family and business together? Yes. So if you're telling me that the EU came up with 93 different definitions what definition am I using then? I can understand the question, is your family in business together? Yes, Pauline's in it, brother's in it, sister's in it.
It's, well, it's a self-definition. If you are happy, if you accept the label that you are in a family business, then you are definitely in a family business.
So it's a self-definition.
Mm. I think so.
Okay, so where does that put all of the purveyors of services to what they describe as family business then? Because they have a definition. They must have. If you're saying, you know, we can help you with your marketing because we understand family businesses. We can offer legal services because we understand family. We can offer this because we understand family business. What definition are they using? Because if that definition is self-defining, how can someone externally know what that definition is when they come and talk to you?
Well, I think Anna's example illustrates that.
You've got to just keep an open mind, surely. And then if you come across somebody like we have from time to time that says, no, I'm not comfortable with that definition, well, that's sort of okay. But my view is it stores up issues for them, as actually happened in that case, because, you know, personal stuff did happen which impacted the business. Yeah. So as an advisor, I think your role then is to not shove it down their throat that they are a family business, but just to take a step back and say, okay, well, we'll deal with whatever, you know, we can work through this, but if needed, I can help you guide you through this stuff as it comes up.
I think that's absolutely right. I think at the back of your mind, you are aware that in this case, the wife owned 50% of the business.
But you could also then ask, why isn't your business a family business? Because if you're saying there has to be, there's no bumper sticker, there's no badge or certificate you get for being a family business. There's not a very strict criteria for being labelled as a family business. It can almost be self-defining. If you can, because science starts with trying to prove that something didn't happen or did happen. There has to be evidence for it. So by asking those questions to your children, that was you seeking proof or evidence that you either were or weren't a family business. And I think the responses you got were, irrespective of the label, the sticker, the badge, your family were affected by the fact that you were all working within the same business. And that brings on to a question in terms of growing that business. You're saying Pauline's, was it brother and sister were in the business? Why them? Why not somebody non-related? Why not somebody who didn't know anything about the family? Were there specific reasons why it was her brother and sister that came into the business? Or was it just they possessed the right skills?
Well, I guess I ought to be clear when I say Pauline's sister and brother were in the business. They weren't in the business in any managerial or ownership or directorship or directorial role.
Right.
Her sister became the office cleaner.
Right.
And her brother became a transport provider. So they didn't come in. They came in at that point because we had a business. They needed help, jobs, support, or whatever at that point in their lives. And here was an opportunity that we had to offer them something in our business.
Yeah. But at the same point, you still didn't have to. You weren't obliged to say that has to go to those two individuals.
We created jobs, right, if okay. I'm being honest.
Okay.
Well, can I come just back? Because it seems to me, in all the work that I've been doing, it's far easier to be very clear or get clarity around the fact that a family is in business together. That seems to me to be a very easy question to answer.
Mm.
And gives me the definition that I seek and the information that I need as a consultant. Trying to pin the tag family business seems to be quite slippery because of the 93 possibilities in terms of definition. Whereas the definition of a family in business together seems to me to be very easy. They are or they're not. Which is why I think we chose the International Centre for Families in Business, because it made it simple.
Can't argue with that, really. that does make sense. And you're right, if you apply that to the situation that we were just talking about, where there was a flat rejection of the label, it still gives you what you're saying is that knowledge gave us the information we needed to advise in the right way. So that works for me.
So looking at the subject matter, when does a business become a family business? Is it an acceptance then that you are a family in business together, then becomes a point at which you can define as a family business?
I think it's a good, if you've got to pick a moment in time, it's a good a moment to pick as any, because on the basis of this discussion, there was a point in John's business where there was a family in business together. Pauline was involved in the business. The children were impacted by the business. Their lives were enmeshed and involved in that business. And there were other relatives involved. Yes, there is a family in business together. Would John have called it a family business at that time? No, he wouldn't.
But does the definition run out then at some point? If you're into second and third generation businesses.
But I think that's the problem.
It does.
Well, I think if you take let's call it case A, you probably know what I'm talking about. We ended up in a situation through succession where there was only one family member working in the business. But with all that history, how can it possibly not be a family business?
But in case A, you could actually say that because of the breakdown of the relationships and within that particular family, they were not really in business together.
Mm-hmm.
There may have been eight of them jointly owning a large family business, but they weren't in business together. They weren't cooperating. Their lives weren't bound up in the business in the same way you've described. And the same can be said of a lot of more mature, later stage family businesses. There are a number of family members involved in the business, but equally there are a huge number of outsiders who are no longer working together in that business.
So are we then almost coming up with our own journey, which says, you know, first generation founder, entrepreneur, whatever tag fits, through to a family business together, through to a family business, through to maybe not a family business?
Well, one of the measures that one of the things the academics try and do is measure the degree of family involvement, isn't it, in businesses. They try and put scientific values on the degree to which family are involved. So it's what we're arriving at is almost the same, or almost that idea of degree of family involvement.
That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to leave us a review, please feel free to do so on iTunes. If you want to get in touch, you can find out more information at www.fambizpodcast.com. We'll see you again soon.